Okay, we want to say good evening and welcome back to Understanding God's Word. I'm Minister Shanette Peterkin, and we're here tonight to continue with our discussion of the Word of God. We were dealing and looking at the book of Hebrews. We didn't start from the beginning, but I think it'll probably be a good thing to see and get a overall view of what's going on in the book of Hebrews, because it really does pertain to our life and living as of today. But we were talking about the rest. We're talking about being a partaker of the inheritance that God has for us. And so the book of Hebrews deals with Jewish believers. They came out of the Judaism. They were baptized into Christ. Now understand, when they were baptized into Christ, they renounced Judaism. Okay? They renounced everything about it. And they chose to walk and serve Christ in the midst of persecution. Now, what was happening was we compared it to, he always compared it to them entering into God's rest or inheritance, because the rest is equivalent to inheritance. And we said there were a couple of types of inheritance that the book of Hebrews dealt with, okay? There was the Canaan rest, there was the Sabbath rest, there was another type rest that won't come to my mind right now. But these types of rest, it's just, they all simply mean a cessation of movement or action. It's to cease from labor, and it's a state of freedom from exertion, okay? The word Hebrews, it means river crosser. Okay, and when you look, I don't want to go too much in depth into this, but when you look at the book of Hebrews, or the word Hebrew, it's talking about river crossers. They were people, and you look at Abraham, when he came out of the land of Ur, he had to cross through Euphrates River into another land. When you look at the children of Israel in Egypt, they had to cross the Red Sea, and it was a faith walk. They had obstacles and difficulties. But if you want to remain the same and you don't want to change, you stay where you're at. River crosser is equivalent to being like a type of baptism, okay? Noah, he went from the same flood that drowned the inhabitants because of the judgment that came upon those people who refused to believe Noah and God at his word. Noah built an ark, and it was the same water that drowned the people was the same water to deliver Noah. See what I'm trying to say? It's a type of baptism. It's a type of being in Christ. So understand this. To be a river crosser, it means you're going from one state of living to a better. Okay? You're crossing over. It's not for the faint of heart. It's not for individuals that don't like change. It's not for the individuals that like to have comfort, okay, that likes to know where their steps, what's going to happen next. And this is river cross. This is why they couldn't enter into Canaan. They were used to Egypt. They did not want to change. Y'all see what I'm saying? So Abraham had, through circumstances, to leave Ur. He didn't just naturally leave, even though God said leave. Events and situations had to happen in Abraham's life to get him to cross over. One was that his father died. And when that happened, he ultimately crossed over. He left Ur of the Chaldeans and crossed to Euphrates. Okay? So Abraham and Noah were Hebrews, river crossers. That makes sense? Mm-hmm. So when you're looking at this book of Hebrews, he's telling them that there is a more perfect, better way than Judaism. And the same way that, see, remember when they left Egypt, they went into a wilderness. See, and when they went to the wilderness, they set up a tabernacle. And it was God's presence with them. You see this? And so anytime we cross over, God's going to build his presence in us. We're the temple. And there's going to always be a crossing over. You cannot remain stagnant. You can't think because you crossed over one time that you're not going to have to cross over again. Because we see the Israelites, once Abraham crossed over, well, let's say Noah, and then you see Abraham, and then you see a group or a family of Hebrews that cross over with the Red Sea, and then they don't enter into the promises because of their unwillingness to cross over the Jordan into Canaan. Am I making sense so far?
Mm-hmm.
To cross over or to be to obtain the victory or the inheritance that God has for us means that we're going to have to rest, cease from our own labor, stop exerting yourself, trying to bring about a change in your life, repose or sleep, rest in Christ. See, so it means baptism is a death. You die to something just to enter into a new place where you could be changed to something. That makes sense?
Mm-hmm.
These Hebrew Christians said, we renounce Judaism. We leave it. It doesn't matter what we're forfeiting. But something started happening, and we see in the book of Hebrews that there's five warnings. Five warnings given to these Christians because they were on the verge of going back to relieve themselves of the persecution from the church and the state. So understand, this is what God had so much for them, but very few people, we start out, many are called, but very few are chosen to continue. And this is where they were overthrown in the wilderness. Why? And we read in Psalms 106 last week that all the times they tempted God, they're murmuring, their complaints. It's raining today. I want sunshine. There's a lot of people, we predicate our attitude and our emotions based upon the weather. If it's not rain, the sun's out, we're good to go. God does not want emotional things. Every day is a good day in the Lord.
Amen.
Do everything to the glory of God. It doesn't matter what's happening. He said, think on these things, whatever is true, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is of a good report. See this? Because remember, we're not walking by sight. We're walking by faith. And faith simply means the reality is we don't see it. The reality is we may not obtain the victory. We might see it materialize yet. But it is the substance of things hopeful. So if I don't see it, it gives me every reason to hope, to continue to trust in the cross until God's desired goal is accomplished. That makes sense?
Amen.
So this is where these wilderness saints, it did not mean that they lost their salvation. Now, I don't know, some of them may have gone, died, and went to heaven or not, but it meant that they missed out on what God had for them at that moment in time, which was Canaan. So out of the millions, I think it was 2 or 3 million that came out of Egypt, out of the original that came out, only two obtained the promises. Two, Joshua and Caleb, along with the children that were below 20, I think it was. Y'all remember that? But the original people, only two. Can you imagine? Two out of millions?
Amen.
Now, I say two of the original. We know there were more because he said your children shall enter, but you won't. But those 10 spies died instantly. They died. They were dealt with because of unbelief. So they were cut short. Their life was ended. Their Christian journey ended. And this is why it says in 1 Corinthians 11, not discerning the Lord's body, many are weak in the body of Christ, many are sick, and then many sleep or die prematurely. They didn't have to die, but had they lived a life resting in Christ and allowing his works to come forth in their life. Now, understand that what works are, we will produce works, but we're talking about works that are produced from an effort of our own planning and scheming. This is what God is against. There is a work by the Holy Spirit that has to be produced in each of our lives. And those works, or that work that's produced by the Spirit, will be judged at the judgment seat of Christ. Now, we've been talking about end time events because you can see things playing out now. Okay? Remember we talked about how the Antichrist, he wants to usurp the authority of God. And so in the end, we know that God is to rule this whole land. The government of Christ shall be upon his shoulder. And he's going to rule from Jerusalem. So what is the Antichrist doing now? Because he's the God of the world system. He creates a new world order. Now, the world will say, well, that's conspiracy. A one world government. The world will say, well, that's just stuff that people came up with these theories. But Joe Biden said today, or one day, that the new world order is about to be created, or the one world government. He said it. Okay? So what am I saying? There is a government that the Antichrist will set up and nations will join that are borderless. This is what the world system is working towards today. You and I have to see what's happening spiritually before we just jump on the bandwagon of, you know, the political parties or the media, what have you. We got to see the natural, because it will tell you where we are prophetically according to God's word. The Antichrist is working towards one world government where there is no borders and one person will rule from Jerusalem. The Antichrist is trying to mimic that which God, the Godhead, has and will establish. See this? So we have to learn. We have to let the Spirit do his work in us, because there's stuff that has to be put to death in order for us to see it. If we're not dying daily and we're not resisting change by the Spirit, then you'll be able to cross over and see the giants, but also see that God is well able to take them. Y'all see what I'm trying to say? So this is why we have to be willing to change. If we're not willing to change in our perspectives, in our mindset, in our view, then we'll go back to Egypt. That's all that came. The Hebrews or the Israelites wanted. They wanted to go back. Why? Because things became difficult. Aren't we the same way? Things get difficult, and I don't know about it. I'm not going. We just want to go in comfort. That's not why he placed us here. He said, Father, in John 17, I pray that you take them not out of the world, but that you keep them safe from the evil one. Okay? The evil one is constantly at work against the Christian and against the things of God. Always remember that. So this is why you and I have to be forever changed and not conform to this world, but we have to be transformed daily by a renewed mind. And who's responsible for giving us a renewed mind? The Holy Spirit, when our faith is resting in what Christ has done. If my faith is resting in what Christ has done, the Spirit of God can lead me into the victory afforded us at Calvary. Okay? So, any questions before we go to Hebrews chapter 3, and then we're going to jump over to John chapter 8, and I want us to see some things with this in the book of Hebrews, okay? Y'all with me? Everybody okay? All right.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, Hebrews chapter, I'm getting there. Sister Cherry, I know you're probably there. Chapter 3. Yes, ma'am.
Are you recording?
I am, uh-huh.
Oh.
Thank you, ma'am. Yes, we are. We are.
Okay. Okay.
Okay. So Hebrews chapter 3, I'm going to catch up with you, Sister Cherry. I think we said verse 7.
Uh-huh.
All right.
Verse 7. You ready?
Mm-hmm.
Is that where you want to start?
What'd you say?
Is that where you want to start?
Yes, ma'am. I think I'm getting there, if it's not, we'll go back, or my program closed, so I had to reopen.
Wherefore, as the Holy Ghost said, today if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in provocation in the day of temptation in the wilderness. When your fathers tempted me, proved me, and saw my works 40 years. Wherefore, I was grieved with that generation and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. So I swear in my wrath, they shall not enter into my rest.
All right. Now, this references Numbers 14, 13 and 14, chapters 13 and 14. You can go back and read that, but we may go over there in Numbers 14 in a second. So God had predetermined or determined that he would not change his mind about the wrath, because when you read in Numbers, you'll see where Moses pleads with God about not destroying the people and raising up a new body of people. God said, okay, I won't. But they won't enter into the promises of God. See, it was still there were still consequences for their choice of unbelief, not trusting him, disobedience. Disobedience is the same as unbelief. Okay? The two words are the same. So if you disobey, you're not believing. Their failure to believe God caused them to forfeit Canaan, the promised land. So they wandered 40 years in a wilderness. They never could enter into the rest. They wouldn't cross over, right? They wouldn't cross over. Now, if you look at it, and we're not going to go there, but you can go there whenever you have time. When you look at Exodus, I think it was chapter 3, you see where God starts. He's speaking to the Israelites, and he says, I am the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Okay? He presents himself to them when he's about to prepare them for deliverance from Egypt. But when he goes to Pharaoh, now he says, I am the God of the Hebrews. He's the God of the river crossers. See this?
Amen.
These river crossers had to be willing to change despite the fact of the difficulty. See? This is our fight. We're fighting against change. We're fighting from God renewing our minds. We have to yield. We have to allow God. We have to lay aside everything. Now, in John chapter 12, and you don't have to go there because some of these things I'm just going to reference and I'll read it and you can go back over there later. But in John 12, it tells us that unless a kernel of wheat dies, let me make sure I'm quoting it right. It says, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. So if it falls to the ground and does not die, guess what? That kernel of wheat abides alone. Okay? So, but if it dies, it will bring forth much fruit. This is talking about Christ. He died and he brought forth many more sons and daughters. But at the same time, if we refuse to die to self, sin, the world, or self, the world, the flesh, and the devil, Paul said, I die daily. See? You will remain alone, meaning there is no fruit of the Spirit being developed in your heart and life. How is the world supposed to know Christ? We're a reflection of Christ. If they're not seeing the light of Christ in our lives, then the world will not be drawn. They'll remain in darkness. So here, the river crossers, it means that people, you and I have to constantly be willing to change. We have to constantly be willing to go through a transformation. You see? And so these river crossers, when he approached Pharaoh, when God talked to Pharaoh, he says, I am the God of the Hebrews. He had an intention on crossing them over out of Egypt and to a place where they can learn him. So he says in Hebrews 3, when they went to this place, what did he say? He said they erred in their what?
In their hearts.
Yes. And they have not known what?
My ways.
You see that? This is the problem. This is the problem. We'll get saved. And what he's dealing with and talking to these Hebrews, I think it was in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 14, when he talks about salvation, it's talking about a future inheritance. Metakoi is not talking about a past salvation experience, justification. It's talking about you and I in sanctification becoming a partaker of something in the future. You see what I'm trying to say?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Remember, salvation has three stages or three parts. So these Hebrews were saved out of, they were saved. They were his people. Remember, he said, these are my people. Let my people go. So when they refused to enter into Canaan, it was because of a refusal to embrace God and his ways. God's ways are not ours. His thoughts are not ours. And this is why you and I have to lay down what we think is right every day as Christians. This is a problem for a lot of people because we can't get out of our heads that we are a little bit above a beast. Our intellect is just a little bit above an animal. I was looking at a video yesterday and somebody had shared it, and a raccoon was like down in a dumpster somewhere at the bottom. He found a piece of wood. He grabbed it. He placed it where he could climb it and went on up and out that dumpster. Our intellect, we're just a little bit above a beast, an animal. Y'all see what I'm trying to say? It just amazed me because I was looking at it. I'm like, wow, he knew how to go get that piece of wood, put it to at the right angle where it was sturdy enough to hold him, and he climbed up out of there. So the point I'm trying to make is God's ways aren't ours. We're just a little bit above a beast, okay? We need God daily.
Amen.
We don't know what's going to happen in the next minute. We don't know what's going to happen. You know, this pandemic came and it caught all of us by surprise, right? But God knew. And if we trust him in the midst of difficult things and don't walk by sight and fear and doubt and I'm scared, and they said, this is why you have to be careful. He said, take heed how you hear, and not only how you hear, what you hear. Because the enemy is very clever. He presents himself as an angel of light, and he operates by using fear and doubt. But once you learn to rise above, God will lead you and I into all truth. That's the job of the Holy Spirit. He's your counselor. He's your comforter. He's going to dictate to you. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power, love, and a sound mind. See? Satan knows that if he can get us to walk in fear, we will not have a sound mind. We will not have a love, because look what happened in the pandemic. Everybody started being all selfish and self-centered, and when the grocery stores were low, y'all saw the true the true
Amen.
Heart. Y'all see what I'm saying? When it didn't start being a division, mask, unmask, people start turning against one another. If you want to get vaccinated, if you didn't, people start, it's your choice. You see what I'm saying? But the world system made us divide. That's the rule of Satan, divide and conquer. So if a house is divided, it will fall. You see what I'm saying? You and I have to learn that we are not lords over other people. God does not even control us. God gives us the freedom to choose. But the world system will make you think that, everybody got to go in the same direction and say the same thing. Didn't they do it with Nimrod in the Tower of Babel? God said, no, I don't want a man ruling over people and their thoughts and their ability to think for themselves. That's not what God called us to. So the spirit of this world is trying to get everybody to think the same, to go in the same direction. But God came down during the time of that tower, and he caused a confusion of language, and the people separated. Why? To get the will of God accomplished. When we're all saying the same thing according to the world system, the will of God is not accomplished. God created us all with a mind, and everybody is unique. I don't want to look and act the same as everybody. This is what we do in church. Everybody act the same. Everybody dress the same. That's not what God called us to. We're supposed to be an image or reflection of the Son. You see? So when difficulties happen in this world, we can be like the Son and say, you know what, Lord? Not my will, thy will be done. And God exalted him and gave him a name above every name. And who was glorified? God the Father. Jesus was glorified, but God as well, the Father. What am I saying? When we fall to the ground and we die to self, sin, the world, and Satan, it brings forth much fruit. The spirit of this world system does not want that to happen. So what does he do? He places us in bondage. And that's the same thing the Pharaoh did when Joseph died. It said a Pharaoh was raised up that knew not God. And what did he do? He brought all the Israelites into bondage. They all had to go in the same direction. All of them were slaves. Why? Because there was fear that the people would become mightier than the world. Y'all see what I'm saying? We have to learn to let the Spirit lead us. Yield your mind and your body over to Him. Don't be fearful to walk according to the dictates of the Spirit. God can relay to you and I how to do things, but if I'm not willing and I'm not working in cooperation, how can two walk together lest they be agreed? If I'm not in agreement with the Holy Spirit, He can't show Himself strong in my life.
Amen.
So he says in 10, wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. See, that was the purpose of the wilderness, to get them to trust God and His ways. An 11-day journey took them 38, 40 years to obtain the promise. How many of us are delaying the promises, all that God has for our lives, because of our refusal to go God's way? So he said, he swore in his wrath that what? They shall not enter into my rest. Now let me go back here with this rest. Any questions before we go further? Let me go back over here to this rest because I want to read some things. It says here, the rest that was being offered, it said, it is possible that the faith of these Jewish believers will be tried because of the persecution they are experiencing at the time this epistle is written to them. Because of their present situation, they too might fall short of attaining all God wants them to attain in this life. So the promise of rest is still available, because it wasn't totally fulfilled. And so it says the promise of rest in the Old Testament was unfulfilled, but it was not withdrawn. So it is available to those who want it now. So these Jews, these Hebrews, what they were getting ready to do was forfeit the promises or this rest because of their situation, what they saw. And what they saw was the persecution because they had left Judaism. Okay? The competition that they had was, see, they were competing against the Jewish mindset. The Jewish mindset lauded the angels, the prophets, the temple, and many other things. So the book of Hebrew, when we start in chapter 1, will compare. It will show you that Christ is better than Moses. You see, they upheld Moses. Remember, they looked to the temple. They put angels, they exalted the angels because the angels were ministering spirits during the time of Moses, and they helped in relaying the message, right? The death angel was there, you know. So they saw these things. Remember, they saw God perform all these miracles, but they did not, when these Jewish believers got into with the temple and stuff, they saw the persecution, so they were going to forfeit the promises of God to enter into rest so that they could get a little be eased from the persecution. Okay? They were willing to apostatize. They were willing to go back to this system of rituals. See what I'm saying? They had just renounced it, but because things started getting hard, they were going to go back into it, saying in hopes that, okay, maybe they won't persecute us if it appears that we're with them in you know, physically. And Christ, see, this is the problem. This was the problem. The same way the wilderness saints wandered 38 years, because they were in the wilderness for like 2 years before they were getting ready to go into the promise. So that was an additional 38 years, which would have been 40 total. So they got right there to the promise where God was going to give it to them. Now, God didn't tell them to go spy out. They asked God. God allowed them But God told them possess. Possessing the land meant that they had to fight foes that were there. They had to dispossess who and what was there. Now, it's the same with us in our heart. When we, if we want to possess the ground of our hearts, God wants to possess it. He has to dispossess what's there. And that's the Holy Spirit fighting in us, okay? During justification, he fights for us. But during sanctification, he's fighting in us. See, it's a fight. But I must lay down my life. I must cease from my efforts, my labor, and let the Holy Spirit work. And the first thing he wants to do is put to death something in me, okay? So when they would have entered into Canaan, they would have had to dispossess the inhabitants there. Only those people and things that they dispossessed were they able to possess. That makes sense?
Mm-hmm.
What many people are trying to do and want today in this life, they want to possess something that they're not willing to to dispossess. They don't want to stop lying. They don't want to stop cheating. They don't want to stop being in control of their life and yield it over to the Holy Spirit. It's much easier to just quote scriptures and go to church and do external, as you said earlier, Sister Cherry, the externals work, external works.
Mm-hmm.
See, that's a work of and an effort of the flesh. That's what Abraham and Sarah did with Hagar. And guess what that thing became? It became, that work became a thorn, a hindrance to the promise. Y'all see this? We have to stop. This is why we have to cease from our efforts and our activity and our labor, because these things can be a hindrance in our lives to the promises that God has for us. So they forfeited entering into God's rest in Canaan, and these people were going to forfeit entering into God's rest because Christ had told them in Luke, I think it was chapter 21, this is why you and I have to be spiritual and have to see things from the godly perspective. So even though things were chaotic in Rome and Christians were being killed because of their faith, Christ said some things to the spiritual, and only the spiritual picked up on this, and it's written in history. He said, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, how I wish I could have gathered you as a chick gather her hens, but you would not. Okay, that was a tragedy. That was a tragedy. And then he went on and said that because they would not, and I don't want to misquote it here, but I'm kind of paraphrasing it. He said that Jerusalem would be destroyed. See, he said Jerusalem would come in and it would be destroyed. Those who were spiritual picked up on that, and they left. They took Christ, what he prophesied, what he said, they took it. And they were not a part of the true saint or the true Christian didn't forfeit the rest. See, they entered into Christ's rest. But those saints that said, we want to be relieved from this persecution, when Rome came in and destroyed the temple and the city, they were destroyed. Y'all see what I'm saying? A refusal to enter into the rest will cause you to be overthrown in your wilderness. That makes sense?
No, you can.
So this is why it's important. This is why it's so important that we allow God to plan for us, to lead us, just like the cloud by day and the fire by night. You see what I'm saying? I'm going to read this in Luke 20. It's Luke 21 and let me see here. It's Luke 21, and he's talking here in verse, it starts at, I think verse 12, it talks about Jerusalem. But he says, he's talking about that day of vengeance. And I won't go there now because I don't want to pull us off our path. But I want us to see that, I'll find it, I'll give it to y'all at the end of the class because I want to stay in the right direction where we're going. But I want you to see that Christ prophesy or warn them, and only those who were spiritual enough to understand and comprehend or followers of Christ picked up on the fact that Rome would come in 38 years later and destroy Jerusalem. And it was the same which equaled to 40 years, plus when you did the calculation, it was the same 2 years, then plus 30, you know, it ended up being 40 years. So he was using the same analogy to show that Israel could have embraced what God had for them. They rejected Christ. These Hebrews could have embraced what God had for them, but they were on the verge of rejecting Christ for Judaism. And always remember, the temporary is only temporary. What you know, that little temporary ease of comfort that you and I want to experience to get out of stuff and not have to go through stuff. See, it's only temporary, because shortly after that, 38 years later, Rome came in and destroyed Jerusalem.
Amen.
That makes sense?
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Okay. So, let's see here. Let's go back to Hebrews chapter 3. All right. So, he says here, and I was reading from my sheet. Let me go back here right quick. Y'all bear with me. I got stuff everywhere. It says the entire purpose of this letter to the Hebrews is to get the Jewish believers to enter into the fullness of rest. So the writer uses two different words for the rest or for rest in this chapter. The one he uses the most is called katapausis, katapausis, and it says, which is used 8 times in chapters 3 and 4. Hebrews 3 and 11, for those taking notes. Hebrews 3 and 18. Hebrews 4, 1 and 3. And verse 5, 10, and 11. So it says, outside of the book of Hebrews, this word is used only once in the entire New Testament, and that's in Acts 14, 18. So the word means a cessation of activity. It means rest in the sense of ceasing of activity, okay? So their activity was the fact that they were going to go back to Judaism. See that? That's the activity they were going to. So God was saying, stop with your planning. Stop with your activity and let the activity of the Holy Spirit work in you. In order for it to work, you have to do like Mary. Remember Mary and Martha. Mary sat at his feet. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you, what did he say? Rest, right?
Mm-hmm.
See that? So it means we're just stopping with our activities. If you look at organized church, all it is activity.
Mm-hmm.
People get saved, they're justified, and then immediately start working, planning for their life.
Yeah,
you got people in positions and they're not even, they hadn't comprehended. They're trying to do things according to the flesh, their old fleshly mindset. This is why you have church hurt and all kind of division, because everybody's doing what's right in their sight. That's what the Bible talks about. Everybody does what's right in their sight. So everybody, this is why you can have people taking Oprah's advice and say, well, that's your truth and this is my truth. I told y'all I saw on those preacher shows, and they had two women evangelists, and one, they had the Bible, and one says, well, that's your truth and this is my truth. So they were, instead of them finding out the objective truth that never changes and that's true for all time, they each said, well, according to my mindset, this is my truth. So they took the word and made their own truth out of it. That makes sense?
Right.
And it should have only been one truth. If they would have delved and got the true meaning and intent of the scriptures and studied to know the truth and not their truth. See, too many people are studying the Bible to prove their point. That's not Bible study. I have to come at this thing because, you know, we have already preconceived ideas or whatever. But when you're studying, you have to lay aside everything, what you think is right. And you have to ask the Lord to reveal. And if you just studying the words, it will explain some of the passages that we thought were the most difficult.
Mm-hmm.
when we study the Greek and the Hebrew meaning of it, you'll see the truth behind it. And some of the doctrines that we were taught, you'll see, weren't right. So it says, it's talking about here, the word rest, katapausis, it's talking about, it's in connection with Israel's possession of the land. So rest is used in connection or with their possession. If you don't rest in Christ, you won't possess Christ, his character, his quality, the spirit, the fruit of the spirit. Y'all see what I'm saying? Resting requires that you and I, the only way to possess, I have to rest. I have to cease from my own effort, my own teaching, my own traditions and whatever I was brought up with, my own perspective, my biases, my opinions, my loyalties to groups and peoples and factions. See, I have to renounce those things and pick up. When Joshua was ready to go into fight in Jericho, he encountered a man with, and I think he had a sword in his hand or what have you. And Joshua said, "Are you for us or for our enemy?" And he said, "Neither." See, it was a pre-incarnate of Christ. I think it was Joshua 13. It was a pre-incarnate of Christ as the captain of the commander of the army of the Lord. He said, "Neither. Not about your interest, Joshua, but you need to be about mine." You see this? This is how God looks at us. We all caught up in whatever. God said, "I'm not about your interest, but I want to make my interest yours. I want to make my life yours. I want your life in exchange for my life," meaning that I have to lay down my life and pick up his life. And there will be a change. You don't have to seek and try to be changed. It will happen as you and I look to him by faith and walk in obedience to his word. So this catapulsis simply means that it's talking about if I rest, then I'm able to possess. See?
This is a mouthful in terms of understanding the rest.
Mm.
In other words, we sit at his feet, mm-hmm. and we wait to allow him to give us direction versus, this is for me. I'm just gathering for myself.
Right.
Instead of starting to do things and try to fit him into the plan.
Yes. Now, understand this. The rest doesn't necessarily mean you won't be active. It simply means you stop from your efforts. If that makes sense. And now, remember he said they erred in their hearts because they didn't know his ways. They didn't know it. So he was trying to get his ways to them. They could never know it because they simply was trying to, we read it in Psalms 106. They kept saying, "We want water. We want man. You brought us here to die." How could they embrace God and his ways? They were too busy worried about how they wanted God to prove himself to them. You see what I'm saying? So yes, we have to, they could not possess God or understand his ways because they were too concerned about their way, what they wanted. That makes sense, Sister Cynthia?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay. So it says here, this rest is tied or parallel with the word for inheritance. And the word inheritance here is means is K L E R O N O M I A. I'm not gonna mess it up, okay? It says Moses showed clearly that for Israel their rest was their inheritance. In the same way, the term rest was the writer's functional equivalent for Christians' inheritance. So Christians our heirs was already affirmed, okay? In Hebrews 1:14, it showed that we are heirs, okay? Remember we talked about when you are a child and your parents pass, and they have whatever they possess, it goes to the children. How many ever kids there are, it should be split evenly. But sometimes there was a special relationship with one or both parents where they may have left them something in particular. Y'all understand what I'm saying?
Right.
So that's why they have a will or they have whatever to show, okay, this is for you, Sister Cherry, because you and I used to always, you know, drive this car and you loved it and da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da. Y'all see what I'm saying?
Right.
So in the same way, it's like that with God. We're all going to inherit the kingdom, right? But you'll be amazed because we're all not going to have the same rewards, responsibilities. Some people will be in, and you'll be amazed at what the word outer darkness means. It does not have anything to do with hell. It means on the outside of something. So when you look at it in the book of Matthew, it talks about, I think it was Matthew, it talks about the outer darkness. Every time it references the outer darkness, it's talking about on the outside of something, but you're in it, just like being, let's say there's a game, a basketball game or a football game at a stadium or what have you. Now, you can be in participating or in the stadium on a seat or on the bleachers, or you can be in the parking lot. You're there either way, right, at the game.
Right.
See what I'm trying to say? But you may be out in the parking lot. Are you a part of the festivities? Are you near what's the activities, what's going on? Can you see any of the players? Can you see? Y'all see what I'm saying? Then you may have some people in the nosebleed seats. All of this, and I'm using that as a reference, just to show an example. All of this is kind of like what the kingdom of the millennial kingdom will be like. You may have just made it in the door. And what God will do, see, during the years or the time of the tribulation on earth, in heaven, the saints are being judged for their works, and it will determine where you are and what you do. Y'all see what I'm saying? In the kingdom. You may be on the outside because you didn't do what God called you to do. You're there. You're in the kingdom.
Oh.
But you may be in the parking lot.
Wow.
God based it upon your faithfulness and your obedience here on earth. So this is why he said, this is eternal life, to know the true and the living God. Eternal life begins the day that you and I gave our life to Christ, and most people are still right there at the starting line. So people say, I'm saved. Okay, good. What have you done with it? What are you doing with it? Are you progressing, maturing? And this is what we're going to see when we start studying the whole book of Hebrews. There were five warnings. One, they were on the verge of apostatizing. They were going to go back to Judaism. Then they weren't growing. See, they stopped maturing in the faith. And so there's five warnings, just like the seven churches. They were giving warnings. See, it has to do with the inheritance, not whether you're saved or going to heaven or hell. It has to do with your inheritance. And here, this is what the word rest is tied to. They couldn't enter into Canaan rest because of unbelief. God said, I swore in my wrath. He said, no, I'm not changing my mind. God forgave. When Moses prayed, God said, okay, I won't destroy them, but they won't enter into my rest. He said, I swore. So there was consequences. You see what I'm saying? And some of them, the earth opened up, and they dropped dead. They may have they lost their inheritance. They lost their reward. Some were Korah and them. They were priests. They were given particular jobs and responsibility. But they were so focused on Moses and Aaron, who y'all think y'all are. We got just as much right and responsibility. They weren't even focused on what God called them to. See, they were bad stewards. They were not faithful, and nor were they wise. The ten virgins, it doesn't have anything with them going to hell. It has everything. Five were wise, five were foolish. See this?
Right.
So when Christ said, I don't know you, He says they have not, that same reference, they have not known my ways. He, God didn't know them because they never picked up his ways. They had oil, but it, somewhere along the way, it ran out, and they didn't get more. Now, the five wise, they were on it, and they were watchful. And when the trump sound, they went on. You see, y'all see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
This has to do with the Christian's inheritance. So it says that Christians are heirs was already affirmed in Hebrews 1 and 14. If you look at that, salvation is dealing with the inheritance part, a future salvation, and will shortly be so again. This inheritance will unfold as his argument proceeds. His presentation of Messiah's kingdom and his partners share in that. This will be confirmed in Hebrews 12:28. So I'm giving these scriptures so you can go back and be a Berean and you can study it out for yourself. So it says, these Jewish believers had severed their relationship to the established systems by identifying with Christ in baptism. That's Hebrews 10:22-23. Their renunciation of established Judaism had incurred the wrath of the religious community. So they were undergoing intense persecution. That's Hebrews 10:32-34. But had not yet been martyred, even though they faced that possibility. That was Hebrews 12:4. So they were willing to go back. They were considering going backwards. And this is why Paul had to write the epistle to them. He had to show to them, and I'm giving you an overview because all of this is going to be necessary when we start from the beginning. He was showing to them that Christ was better than Moses. Christ was better than the Levitical system. Christ was better than the angels. You see what I'm saying? That's where the whole book is showing these Hebrews. They were going to forfeit Christ to go back to what was supposed to be a shadow of Christ. Any questions?
It's going to be a lot of... you take this to a church, you'll get put out.
Wow.
You're like, what?
And call me a heretic, huh?
Oh, yeah. Especially those that are not filled with, well, definitely those not filled with the Holy Spirit. This is something.
Because
I've never heard this teaching such, like this.
And you know what? And it's right there. And if we, and it's like, oh, my goodness. Like I said, if we're not willing to say, okay, let me say, when you study it out, it's saying just that. And I'm like, oh, my goodness. They were already God's people. But they refused to enter into Canaan. And when you, like I said, in 1 Corinthians 11, remember he said, not understanding or discerning the Lord's body, many are weak, sick, and sleep, or die prematurely. That's what happened to these folks. They did not understand. He said it. They did not know they erred in their heart because they didn't know my ways. There's so much to learn about God, but we have to make sure there are no hindrances. We can't. That's why he said casting down imagination and every high thing.
You're breaking up.
Say that again, Cynthia.
You're breaking up. I don't know if it's just me. Or...
Can y'all hear me? Can y'all hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay.
You're breaking up on my line, too. You're breaking up
that's
on mine.
Oh, really? What about now?
Say something.
Is it still breaking up?
Yes.
Is it?
No, good on my line.
Uh-huh.
I can hear.
Not on my line.
Okay, who's that?
Yeah.
Mr. Beth?
Yeah.
Okay, are y'all on cell phones, Nan?
You're better.
Yeah.
You're better now,
yeah.
Donna.
Okay.
You're better.
Okay.
Good.
So it says here, he says, like their ancestors at Kadesh Barnea, that was where when they was ready to enter into Canaan, the recipients of the epistle had a promise from God of entering into his rest. This is not the rest of salvation, for they are recognized as believers already. That's Hebrews 3:1. Nor is it the future millennial rest in which all persecutions will cease. And it's talking about being in the kingdom at that time. Okay? Thus, we conclude that the rest is that faith life rest which a believer enters by faith and which he enjoys the inheritance that God gives to those who are faithful. So he says, this is why he said, for unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them because it was not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. Had it been mixed with faith, they would have entered into Canaan. They wouldn't have said, Lord, let us go spy it out. Let's go check it. They did not, God said, go possess the land. They didn't trust it. They had to see it. And not only did they go to see what was there that was good, they saw the giants, the sons of Anak. Now, they had a legitimate reason to fear because these were descendants of those same fallen angels who slept with the daughters of men and produced these giants. These were descendants. The sons of Anak were the descendants of those fallen angels who slept with the daughters of men. So they were giants. They were 9 to 13 feet tall. So they saw this. And according to the flesh, it's going to be scary. But according to the eyes of the spirit, see what I'm saying? COVID was scary. Y'all saw deaths happening all around, right? Mm-hmm. But according to the eyes of the spirit, are you going to allow fear, doubt, to come in and cause you to not enter? See, fear paralyzes. It stunts you in your growth. You can only go but so far. So you and I would be just like these folks at Canaan who couldn't go in. So you'll continue to live in this life, but you'll be miserable. You won't be able to overcome. You'll be caught up in what you see, what you hear on the news and all this, and keeps you in a vicious cycle of panic, anxiety, fear, doubt. Y'all see what I'm saying?
Mentee.
Yes, ma'am.
So what God wanted them to do when he told them to go in and possess, he wanted them to trust him that he knows what was best for them.
Yes.
But they didn't trust him, so they sent the two spies out. Okay, gotcha.
Right, they wanted the 12 to go, and God said, I'll allow that. But the 10, they listened to the report of the majority. See, I never followed the majority. Even in this life, if the majority, everybody going with the crowd, something ain't right. I always question it. When everybody, because the crowd, especially from the world system, you got to say, Lord, what's going on here? Because remember, the world system, the crowd, the majority wants us to respond emotionally. That's not faith. It wants you to fear. If it creates fear, if it creates anxiety, remember, God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of love. So even though Joshua and Caleb and the rest saw the giants and the negative side of it, Joshua and Caleb came back saying, we are well able to take it. Because what? They considered God. They compared these giants. They remembered that in Egypt, we faced Pharaoh. We faced the gods of Pharaoh, and our God, Jehovah God, showed up and showed out. See, they didn't forget. And what the world relies on is our forgetting. See, we get amused and amazed in the moment, and then we forget. See that? The world says, stuff happening, oh, they'll forget about it, and they'll go on, and we're all moved by the next great events. So we go from COVID, we go to invasion in Ukraine, we go to what's more stuff that's been happening, all kinds of stuff. And they know we're going to forget. We're going to forget that God delivered us from death during COVID. God delivered us from having to take these vaccines and lose our jobs. God, you know, we forget those things, and then here we go to the next crisis. The world will always have crisis. Y'all ever notice that? When you look at the news, what do you see? Crisis after crisis after crisis. Am I negative after negative? Am I right? Anybody else see that? If you notice?
Amen. Mm-hmm.
It's always something negative. There's never nothing good. And what it does, it makes you feel hopeless. It makes you feel like, oh, man, fearful. You doubt. And it comes against faith. It never wants you to praise and rejoice. It always has something. That's the spirit of the world. And that's what happened to those spies. When they came back, their spirit influenced millions of other people, right?
Mm-hmm.
That's the spirit of this world. Mm-hmm. And that's why we have to be careful as Christians how and what we hear. There is a truth, but the world is not going to allow us to see that. Now, we were supposed to go to John 8. So, Chair, we'll get there next week.
Okay.
My time is up. But I just want us to see that entering into his rest, it's going to require you and I to not care what Martha says. Martha murmured and complained against Mary. I'm sure she prayed against Mary. Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me alone to serve? See, Martha wanted not only Mary but Christ to be caught up in her problems. See this? And this, you got people like that, whether in family, friends, whatever. They always got problems, and they want to pull you into it. And sometimes all the time, you're going to have to be like Mary and say, I'm sitting here, I'm learning, and I'm thinking of those things that are true, that are of a good report. And, yeah, you got problems, Martha, but guess what? He's greater than your problem. See, that's in essence what Joshua and Caleb was telling the crowds. Yeah, there are giants there. Yeah, there's some things there. But guess what? Compared to God, they're nothing. Because God defeated Pharaoh. He defeated his gods. He delivered us from the death angel. Y'all see that? But they failed to remember.
Wow.
So on that note, we're going to have to close because my time is up. But I want us to continue to read those scriptures. You may have to go back and just study that out because that's what the Bereans did. They studied to know the truth. Lay aside any preconceived ideas and what have you and study to know truth. And God, the Holy Spirit in you, and I remember he's leading us into all truths. He will reveal it to you by the Spirit. So until next Tuesday, for those on the line, hold on. We'll take questions and comments. But we want to thank everyone for tuning in tonight. And we just hope that this explains some things to you so you can apply it in your walk. So until next week, we'll see you again on Understanding God's Word. We thank you and be blessed.